Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If we could make a start, the meeting of the Scrutiny Value for Money Council Committee, which is also open to the public, to be held today, Thursday, 13th of July. Item number one.
We have no apologies, Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. Have we any absentees? Declarations of interest, if any. Are there any declarations of interest? None. Okay, thank you. Item three, appointment of the vice chairman. Do I have any proposals? Councillor Kripsky?
Could I propose Mandy Shrive, please?
Are there any others? Councillor?
I would like to propose Councillor Sankey.
Okay, well, in that case, we will go to the vote, if I may.
Sorry.
Second. Thank you. In that case, we'll go to the vote, please. Those in favour of Councillor Shrive. Those in favour, thank you. Those in favour of Councillor Sankey. Thank you.
Casting vote, Chair.
Which will be for Councillor Shrive. So congratulations on your appointment, Councillor. Thank you. Public minutes of the meeting on the 13th of April 23. Seeking approval for these minutes, public meetings. Is there a proposer? Thank you. Seconder? So I didn't see a seconder.
So Simon, Councillor Gaskin was the only councillor present at that meeting.
Yep. He's the only one that counts. Sorry. So abstentions. Yeah.
Councillor Gaskin is only one voted.
Okay.
It could be. Apologies to interrupt. It could be we just no minutes if that's the case, rather than have a
formal. Happy movements. Okay, thank you very much indeed, Councillor. Thank you. Urgent business. Have we any urgent business to consider?
There are no urgent business, Chairman.
Thank you. Item 6, Corporate Plan Performance Report, end of the year 22-23. Can I ask our Corporate and Commercial Manager to report?
Of course, yes. Thanks, Jess. So this is the end of year performance report looking at the council's progress towards achieving its corporate plan priorities up to the end of March of this year. So I'll just provide a very quick summary of the headline figures and the key points arising. I think it's worth mentioning that ordinarily the report you'll receive on a quarterly basis will be focused specifically on the subject matter of this committee, but with the restructure of the scrutiny committees following the recent actions and the move away from the alignment between the committees and the corporate plan priorities, this quarter's report does actually capture the all aspects from across the full corporate plan rather than being specifically focused on the VFM committee on this occasion. But as I hope you can see from the information in the report, the numbers suggest that overall the corporate performance continues to be generally very positive. But just to very quickly summarise, each indicator has been ranked as red, amber, green, dependent on the progress against its target, using the definitions of what constitutes red, amber, green, as is set out in paragraph 5.1. And the analysis we've done shows that if we look at the live targets, this equates to the council being at 93.75% green overall. It's just 0.78% amber and just 5.47% red. The tables that you can see on pages 5, 6 and 7 of the main report, they just show some further breakdown of the performance. And those few targets that I've referred to that have been highlighted as red or amber, they're detailed more fully in section 5.5 of the report, which just really includes some narratives to provide the context around the situation with each of those indicators, which I hope is useful. But as always, the Appendix 1 that's been attached, that includes all the comprehensive data on the indicators that we've got in the corporate plan, along with some relevant benchmarking that we've been able to do as well, attached as Appendix 2. This report does touch on the performance of the leisure contractors as well, as the report that goes to Cabinet covers both of those aspects. However, this committee also receives a dedicated leisure report, which we'll be looking at later on in the agenda as well. So we'll focus on the corporate plan at this stage. But that's a quick summary of the key points. As I mentioned at the outset, overall the numbers suggest that the council continues to be in a very good position in terms of its performance. And with that, I shall pass back to you, Chair.
Thank you very much indeed. At this stage, I presume we can take questions if there are any. So I open the floor to councillors.
Thank you, Chair. I have a question just on VFM 08, the launch of the new council website. It states in there that the revised target is due to launch in June 2023. Has that happened yet? Because the website does look like it's still the old version of the website.
Just to confirm, we are on the current version. This was a snapshot as at the end of March of the financial year, as we know. It's due to be live this month, so we're working hard towards getting it towards the end of July. But yeah, it's demonstrations have been provided internally to work through testing and things like that. So we're very close to a final product, which will be launched in the next few weeks.
Any other questions? No, thank you. In that case, we'll move to item 7, scrutiny review programme.
Thanks, Chair. So I suppose this is one of the primary items on today's agenda to really understand what we do as a committee in terms of our work programme for the year ahead. There are a number of different places that we can get, good material as ideas for reviews. For example, the corporate plan, which is obviously setting out the council's priorities for the year ahead. There's also the forward plan and any other issues that have been raised through your normal business as ward councillors. So really today we would like to agree what topics we would like to have on our work programme. If there are a number of topics that come forward, then we'll need to look at prioritising those, putting those in order as to what we would like to do, and then also agree the approach as to how we take those forward. So if, for example, we want to put some subgroups in place to be able to deliver those specific reviews, then we can obviously look at that as well. Over the course of the last year, this committee did complete reviews into disabled facilities grants, ICT infrastructure and the mayoralty. They did commence a review of civil enforcement, which was looking at fly tipping, littering, dog fouling and off-street car parking. That was relatively early in its sort of life cycle as a review, so that's another one to have on the radar for this committee to potentially take forward. But that's where we are, and over to you, Chair, for any further thoughts or ideas from the group.
Thank you. Councillor Sankey.
Thank you, Chair. I would like to propose one or two topics, if I may, just to start the ball rolling on that. The first one I would like to propose is car parking charges. Given that car parking is currently, we are losing a lot of money on that one, and we have done as a result from COVID onwards, and the review has been removed from the corporate plan. I'd like to propose that the scrutiny undertakes looking at this particular area. Mm-hmm. I think it is costing us money. There isn't necessarily an obvious way forward, so I think I'd like to propose a scrutiny on that particular one. Second one I'd like to propose is grounds maintenance. That's another one that's causing a lot of grief, I think. I think probably that is certainly an issue that's causing angst amongst a lot of people around the organisation, and also our residents are very unhappy with in a number of areas around that. So I'd like to propose that one. And a third one, if I may, Chair, is staff resourcing is another one that I'd like to suggest. I think I could do with James helping to shape this one up. This came out of previous ones where, for example, the council runs very lean on its resourcing in the organisation, right? They haven't got very many people, and things like, for example, at the end of last year, the audit report, we got a negative audit report, particularly in car parking, which was partly due to a staffing resourcing area that identified areas where, to be blunt, because of sickness and out, there wasn't capacity to manage the service, and it didn't perform well, and the audit report picked it up. So I feel that, there's no criticism of the individuals, I'm just saying that it was an area that identified a weakness in our resourcing strategy. So there are three to start, just to start the ball rolling, if I may, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Are there any others? Sorry, Councillor.
Thank you, Chair. Just to throw another one into the mix as well, I think it'd also probably be prudent to look at the Council's approach and strategy to website migrations and kind of tech infrastructure for front-facing services. I know from when we launched the tourism website, there were significant delays in that actually going live. Obviously, the new council website we just touched upon as well, and there's an upcoming, or there potentially is an upcoming website migration with some kind of software implications that are forcing that as well for the Brewhouse site. So I think looking at that as well in terms of the resourced approach and the financial implications of the delays to these websites, and also where we've got the software critical issues, such as on the Brewhouse one, would also probably be prudent to add into the mix. And probably a nice follow-on from the IT scrutiny review as well.
Okay, thank you. Any other options that anybody's thinking? All very valid. Just wondering whether we can just slightly focus. You may not be able to give me the information at this point, but I just wanted to get a feel of the financial value. Now, ID Verde, from memory, is a spend of $2 million per annum. Yeah, I think it is. Really trying to establish really where's the big hitters, value for money. Car parking charges, how much?
Chair, I can't remember. I haven't got the exact figure in front of me, but I thought it was around the £300,000 we were actually, I've got to put, subsidising it at the moment, which to me is a major loss. So I haven't got the exact figure. I could find it out, but it's certainly a big number. It's certainly a six-figure number that is actually costing the authority there. So I think that would be one I would like to pick up.
I don't know if this is relevant. I'm a bit concerned, Councillor Sankey. Are you then looking at possibly putting the charges up to offset this loss? Because I think that would be a death knell to the towns.
Councillor, I haven't got the authority to do it. This gentleman has.
I know.
Right. But actually, what I'm actually saying is, at the moment, that service is making a loss. Right, now, that does not necessarily mean we put the services up. We can look at even lowering them if it's going to increase the number of people coming into them. It could mean, in some cases, and I'm not familiar with them, but there's some cases where we've got car parking, the infrastructure that is in one of the colleges. Is it one of the colleges? Is the college that we've got? And it may not be appropriate that the college deals with it and runs it itself. I think we have it one day a week. On the Saturday, I think. I'm not familiar with this. I've looked at it from purely a financial point of view, that since COVID, it's gone shh, and it hasn't picked up. And just to bury our heads in the sand and say, do nothing, I don't think is a sensible thing. We've, I'm certainly not suggesting we put it up. My wife wouldn't thank me for suggesting that. So I am not suggesting that. And this gentleman would be the one that makes the decision, not the scrutiny committee.
Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Yes, thank you, Chair, for allowing me to speak. I won't be speaking all of the time, but I'd have to point out to Councillor the area that he's suggesting failed on your watch, and it was your administration that brought in three after three at great expense as well. But I don't shy away from your recommendations for scrutiny reviews. I certainly don't, but I'll just to let you know that Cabinet will be doing the maintenance and cost as well, and I will welcome to see what comes out of your reviews that could feed into that when decisions are made in the near future.
If I may, Chair, if Cabinet are doing, and I'll pick up your other points, if Cabinet are doing a review on this, leader, why isn't it in the corporate plan as a target, or is that not, was it, have I missed it? I apologise if I've missed it.
It is in the corporate plan, and it is in the service level reports as well. So it's there.
It is a corporate plan target.
I believe it is.
I apologise.
No, we are going to do it. We're definitely doing it.
Right. Thank you. Quite a few interesting ones. I have some sympathy in terms of the car parking, but I think with COVID and everything else, you're getting not necessarily a true picture.
Chair, if I may, COVID, you're suggesting that COVID, because of COVID at the moment, it is not a true picture to look at car parking. Is that what you're suggesting?
No, what I'm suggesting is that due to COVID, prior to COVID, the figures are less. Three after three, etc. So there's quite a few reasons why there was a loss of 300,000. But not necessarily the fact that the charges weren't correct. And I think it's also quite a difficult one to judge, because one could say it's not value for money, but I like to look at it from a more holistic point of view. Is, are we getting the footfall into the high streets and other areas? So it starts making it a rather more subjective assessment.
Sorry, Chair, I have difficulty understanding how a service that's losing 300,000, and we can take the point about on whose watch and COVID, etc., but a service losing 300,000 is clearly a value for money issue that we should be addressing. If not, I apologise, because I think a service that loses that amount of money is not... We shouldn't be just saying, in the scrutiny committee for value for money, we're not considering it. I'm sorry, I disagree with your assessment on that.
Councillor Shrive.
I think what Councillor Krupski was saying is, over the last few years, maybe it did work before, but over the last few years, there's been lots of things that have affected the car parking, such as, you know, the roadworks coming down, COVID. So he's saying that it's not a straightforward picture, but maybe it is something that we need to see and what we can improve on in the future.
And I do take your point on that, and you're right, there's been a number of exceptional circumstances on that, but the finance people and the car parking people have done their assessment and said, and their prediction, their forecast is that this year and next year, correct me if I'm wrong, are going to make a loss, which is why I think the leader is saying we need to look. So I genuinely think, I think my only issue was that it wasn't in the, I wasn't aware it was in the corporate plan. So I do think it's a serious one to consider.
Yeah. So if things carry on the way they are, they'll make a loss.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not recommending that we put the charges up. That was not that's certainly not my intention whatsoever. I don't want you to think that up.
I'll be quite frank with you. If we don't understand why we lost 300,000, we can't say we're not going to be putting the charges up.
True, but I'm not saying that I'm in favour of putting charges up. Equally, I'm not in favour of putting charges down. I'm just saying we should do a scrutiny review because that's what we're here for.
Indeed. And I'll take it to the vote in a moment.
Chair.
Councillor.
Could I ask whether some of the costing is because they changed the methods of payment in the car parks? I know in Uttoxeter, instead of having the coins, they've done the card. They've upgraded them. So is that part of the loss?
Thank you, Chair. I think some of the questions we're starting to get into are the crux of what that review would cover. And I think the service level and the reasons of was it changing payment method, was it the introduction of the app, was it COVID or so on, is the detail that would be teased out through a scrutiny report. So I think just trying to predetermine or pre-ask some of those questions is probably just preempting that process.
Yeah. My view is quite simple. We can have as many or as few items that we scrutinise, but it's whether we do it properly. Because some of these are quite large, time is very short, information is even shorter, I would somehow suspect, especially on the car park, because it covers a multitude of reasons, as we're all well aware. Can I just move on to ID Verdi, because I think all the wards have an issue with that contractor, and the performance cannot continue as it has done, I think, over the last, certainly the last 12 months. I speak from the issues that we have in Uttoxeter and other parts of some of the other wards. So I'd like to propose that we do ID Verdi as one.
Could I propose that we do car parking as a second, but keep it as just two at the moment? We're a new group. We don't want to overload. We want to make sure that whatever we do properly.
Thank you. Just in terms of an open debate, how does everybody feel about just taking two on?
On a personal level, I'm quite relaxed about that. I'm happy to take two on to do that. But I do think if the previous scrutiny committee did three and started another one, right, then I think, given that we've got more scrutiny committees about with this, we should be doing at least three over the year. Not suggesting we start three at the beginning, and I take your point to do two, and maybe as we go on, and if one comes to fruition quicker than we expect, then maybe we look to a third one.
Okay.
So I would be happy that the two suggestions, unless anybody else has got any views. I do tend to talk a lot, so I'm sure.
Any other viewpoints? Okay, I recommend that we take both those items as the first two items that we will review. I think both are relatively challenging. Especially ID Verdi, because it's not only whether we're receiving value for money, it's also what we would propose going forward. Now, I'm aware the contract is for 5 years. It has 4 years left to run, I think. I'm looking for...
To check, well, yeah, it sounds.
Sounds about right. Okay. So, I think we just take that to the votes, that we go for those two items.
Chair, forgive me. Just to point out, you proposed a motion, and Councillor Crooks, you proposed another motion. So what we need now is a second there. You're not considered a second, Councillor Crooks. You proceed.
Fine, thank you. Okay, put it to the vote. Those in favour? Those against? Any abstentions? Councillor Bailey, I didn't see your hand go up. Fine, thank you.
Carried.
Yes, thanks, Chair. Yeah, so just for avoidance of doubt, I suppose we're looking at taking forward car park charges and grounds maintenance simultaneously at this stage? Yeah. Okay, and then we've got, well, you know, and we've got staff and staff resourcing, website migration as on the work programme potentially to be looked at again, have another discussion on that as and when we make progress with the initial two reviews. And then we also had the enforcement review that the previous committee started. You know, is there a view as to what we do with that? Do we want to keep that on the back burner as well?
I think we keep that on the back burner. I'll be quite honest with all councillors. The review of value for money for any of these items done well takes an awful lot of time. I don't think we should underestimate that. We meet four times a year.
Absolutely. So I suppose my next question was going to be then: how do we take this forward? What's the best approach for these two reviews? We do meet four times a year on a quarterly basis in this formal arena. Many of the reviews that we've done recently have taken an approach of informal subgroups meeting in between these meetings, communication electronically as well in between those subgroup meetings as well to keep the progress of a review moving forward. So if we want to take that approach, it's either we can do it as a full group or whether it's, you know, smaller subgroups of the committee, so some are doing one, some are doing the other, for example, you know, that's an approach we're happy to facilitate as well. So again, it's any views on those, I suppose.
Okay. Councillor Sankey.
Thank you, Chair. I support James's approach of subgroups. Certainly in my experience in scrutiny in the past, that subgroups have been more productive than four times a year sitting in this room. I'd like to suggest that we do get agreement here who's on those two subgroups. And then I would like to suggest that they produce as the first action some terms of reference of what they're doing, which to be circulated through the chair to get agreement so we can actually get on with it, because I wouldn't want to wait for the next meeting, if that's okay with you, Chair. I'd like to get on with the scrutiny concerned.
Yeah, my view of subgroups is, you know, we're not a large group, an awful lot of work. So I wasn't sort of thinking of two or three people just sitting on each subgroup. I thought it was at least four people on each of the groups.
Yeah. Yeah.
Any views?
Yeah. Four, that's fine.
Councillor. Sorry, I can't hear you.
How many members do we have? Seven members in this committee?
Eight members.
Thank you.
So it'd be four apiece. And what I'd like to do is actually mix them up in terms of political persuasion.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Councillor Kripsky.
Could I ask as well? I know you stated only four. We meet four times a year. But can we meet more than four times a year when necessary to come together and to get a joint overview? I think four times a year is not enough if you want to do this properly. I don't know.
The committee under the... Sorry to jump in there, Chair, I do apologise. The committee do have the power to put in additional meetings throughout the year if that helps the proper business of the committee.
I would certainly in favour of that. I don't think, you know, you can put a decent review on either of the topics we've picked in that limited time. So I'd be looking for having subgroups meeting quite regularly and maybe even presenting to all of us meeting more frequently than four times a year formally.
Just to say as well, you know, Councillor Sankey made the point that one of the first tasks for the subgroups will be to look at what the scope of each review, what that will entail. So we're happy to help those, you know, in the facilitation of those scoping papers, that terms of reference for those reviews. Normally, try and focus on no more than sort of three key themes within each review. What I would suggest is that if individual subgroups are working on their own scoping papers, that we'll probably get the agreement of the full committee on those, and then those subgroups can go away and, you know, actually do the donkey work, so to speak, in terms of the review.
Okay, thank you for that advice. I would agree. Keep it really quite short and simple. Right, so we have two projects. Who would like to sit on which? Councillor Sankey, shall I put you in for parking?
Given us three of us here, Chair, I'm happy to be on both of those, and my colleagues, I haven't spoken to them, unless they feel strongly about being on both of them. I'm happy on both of them, and one of you is unable.
Three.
It seems to make sense.
Councillors, would you like to join in the same proposal of being on both committees? Mm-hmm. On both projects, so both parking and ID Verdi.
Yeah?
Okay, great. Did you want to speak? No, sorry, it's okay.
I just thought, Monica's working out there, sorry, that there are eight of us in total. Mm-hmm. So really, you don't want one person on two committees. You want a four and a four.
Mm. So,
and as long as there is a representative from each party on one of those groups, I can't see an issue.
Okay, that's probably a fair assessment. Shall we go? So who'd like, we've got four names. So, councillors.
I'd go on parking with the speed.
Sorry, so that's... Yeah.
Car parking.
Well, I think we know who's on ID Verdi then. Yep.
I'll take the other one.
Are any of you...
Councillor Holton...
Yes, sorry, councillors. Are you... Who's ID Verdi in your... Fine, thank you. Okay. Okay. Yes, councillor.
So ID Verdi would be myself and Councillor Holton.
And the chair.
Chair.
I would like to be on both. I'm sorry. Did you get the scores on doors or? Councillor Boney for ID Verdi, Councillor Clark, Councillor Holton, and myself. Right. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed for your offers, officers of helping us scope documents. Who would like to make contact? One from each group, please, with to Monica to get your scope and briefing.
So, yeah, what we'll from the officer side, we'll send out some invites. We'll contact members to coordinate, you know, availability, etc., to get an initial meeting in the diary, and then that first meeting, I think, we'll then talk about the scope and the terms of reference, and then from there we'll as I've said before, we'll get those agreed across the full committee, and then, you know, make a plan of next steps from there on. There was just one small point of clarity. Just there was a question earlier on in the session around whether or not car parking was in the corporate plan, and it is. It's reference number ECC 23, just for benefit. That's undertake a wide-ranging review of the current car parking arrangements, including but not limited to the parking app, the charging regime and enforcement, with a target date of October 2023. So just that was a point that we said we might come back on, but I think we can tick that one off.
Okay. Sorry, and just for clarification, we will put the civil enforcement on back burner for the time being. Great, thank you. So that, I believe, concludes item 7. Public executive decision records.
So through you, Chair, there's a list of the decisions being made, circulated with the agenda, so if there are any questions, we're happy to take those or take those away if necessary.
Are there any questions? Councillor?
Yeah, 53823 set out the enhancement proposals for the outdoor market and to use the prepay looking for the training days, etc. We have had in the past, from what I've been informed, people who've not paid for their stores
at the time. So, like the indoor market, people had stores and their payments were never received as such. Would we be able to make sure that the people who had, let's say, been debtors in the past weren't booking these stores without paying?
We'll take that one away to the relevant officers, and we'll get a response.
Because there should be sort of like, for want of another word, a blacklist of a list of people who haven't paid, etc., of their so that they can't rebook. If you understand what I'm getting at.
Just for clarity, could I just ask the question? For those booking the stores, do they pay up front or on the day? Or do we have that information? No. Yeah. Okay. Fine. Thank you. Fine. Thank you. Yes, Mr. Councillor. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, apologies for that because we only got the papers today. The energy supply, are we talking about green energy as in a company? I will just check in on that. Is that the company that we've changed over to? Have I just reading this? And given...
You're on the private.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Sorry, yeah, just to say that's for part B, so we'll come to that one in a minute.
Sorry, yeah. Shut up, Steve. Apologies for that, Chair.
Okay, thank you. So, no other items for item 8. Then we'll move on to item 9. Do we have any questions submitted by any member?
Yes, Chair, there were a number of questions received in advance. Responses to those members that couldn't be with us this evening have been tabled, and we do have Councillor Fitzpatrick with us as well to talk about question 3. Also the monitoring officer, John Teasdale, as well, to answer questions on... Which one is it? On the mayoralty, yeah. Question number two.
Would you like to take question number two?
Thank you, Chair, absolutely. So in terms of the mayoral scrutiny review which took place, there were four recommendations coming from that exercise. And one was to improve the council's web and social media presence for the mayoralty. Well, the council's website is undergoing redevelopment at the moment, and currently it will include a fresh web page and an enhanced social media presence for the mayoralty. So I think all in all, the new web page will help promote the online presence of the mayor, and it's on target to go live at the end of July, roughly. The next recommendation was to encourage the council to produce additional press releases relating to events that the mayor attends. So again, this will be assisted by the new web page for the mayoralty. And I feel the inclusion of the mayor's activities in staff and councillor briefings will help bring those activities to light a little bit more. That being said, that the mayor is very enthusiastic, and he has been forwarding a lot of photos of his activities to Julie Byrne as well. And they have been uploaded to a section of the council's website. I'm just not quite sure which section. But of course, going forward with the new web page, it's going to be heavily populated with all his activities and his gettings up to. A further recommendation was for the council to encourage ward members to highlight the potential benefits of mayoral visits in discussion with relevant community groups and businesses. Well, I suppose the answer here is that this can be encouraged through council staff briefings, as I mentioned in the previous question. And generally speaking, any one of our councillors can promote our mayor around different organisations and community groups. If there is a new business which is opening and one of our councillors in their ward identifies that, the mayor can be put forward, or a request for the mayor to attend can be submitted, and we can get the mayor there to cut the ribbon, so to speak, and help promote that business. So I think mayoral visits can be promoted on a member level as well, but we're going to do our best as a department to advance that. The final recommendation was to encourage more detailed documentation of the cost and benefit justification for event attendance in relation to events outside the Staffordshire and South Derby boundaries. This is something which is further scrutinised by officers now. I don't think we could ever be accused of being too liberal about it in the past, because you know, when a mayor does their term, it's quite a special year for them. We try to let them go to at least a couple of events that they want to go to. That being said, the majority of them are within our district and our boundaries, so I think it's fair to try and accommodate a mayor to where they want to go, but not to go crazy at the same time and go too further afield. So I think, you know, the essence of what I'm trying to say is that we do keep an eye on it, and we do scrutinise it. So there you have it, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Steve. Councillor Sankey.
Thank you, Chair. Thanks for the update. And point one, two, and three, there is some good progress. Point four, has a number of councillors from all parties have challenged why the mayor goes out to outside the boundary of East Staffordshire and stretches to the other areas. And this wasn't to stop. I thought this recommendation wasn't to stop them going out there, but to make sure there was the documented evidence to say this is an important one, or it's not important, and this is the cost associated with it once it's outside the boundary. And that was what I thought the recommendation's objective was, so that then there's a justifiable showing the value for money for what we're doing, and not the mayor deciding, well, I quite fancy a trip to the Chelsea Flower Show because I like orchids. I like orchids, but not that much. So it's that sort of thing. So it was more a question of the documentation, as it says, not actually stopping the mayor. The mayor can go where they want to, but this is demonstrating the value for money within the process. So you know, is that what you're doing?
No, through you, Chair, apologies. I don't disagree with your interpretation, Councillor Sankey. That's exactly what we're doing. Of course, when we get any kind of request for the Mayor to attend anywhere, we have invoices, we have receipts to back it up. I suppose what I was trying to say is that some mayors can, all of our mayors can get a little bit adventurous and want to travel a little further afield. So, which is the officers give them a polite nudge, reminder to say might be. Best keeping it within these particular districts. But yeah, in terms of documentation, Councillor Sankey, I don't think we've ever been at fault in that sense. We maintain quite a
okay.
You know,
thank you very much.
Councillor. Yes, you mentioned the information about the mayor's whereabouts and what has been up to would be on the website. Will it be posted on the council's social media site?
Thank you, Councillor Gaskin. James, are you able to help me out? Because James is working quite closely with Tom on the website development, you see, so thank you.
So I think the intention would be, in short answer, yes. So I think the mail page on the website at the moment is fairly simplistic. I think what we would like to do is expand that so it's a bit more akin to the sort of latest news pages that we have on our website currently, so where there are press releases, for example, and associated images with those. By having that improved web presence, the social media that we can do directs people into the website that shows that further detail, those images, because obviously social media is limited in some respects in terms of the amount of information you can push out. So that's the idea, that the two would be hand in hand. The website and then social media driving into the website increases traffic to the website as well as I say, that additional detail.
Thank you. The update, Councillor Fitzpatrick.
Thank you, Chair. I'm going to go on to question three. Since I'm here, I'll give an oral report. I think Councillor Sankey will know that the recommendations from the ICT review, not IT review, were only approved at Cabinet in April just gone, just before the election. So I think your update's a bit premature at the moment. And what I would say is that some of these issues are quite complex. Some of them are actually at service manager level and probably not for cabinet members to decide. But I do intend to have a look at this, get some of the answers, and I'll update in due course.
Thank you very much indeed, Councillor. Councillor?
I fully agree with what Councillor Fitzpatrick says in terms of recent one. And it is a complex area that Councillor Fitzpatrick has been involved in over a number of months, and myself. So we do know that. One thing I would say that I was slightly disappointed was that at the recent audit committee meeting, we had it was around the valuer and the need to have a new IT system, and there was a proposal to put in a new package system, and it had suddenly changed to we'll do it ourselves, which goes counter to what the strategy that Councillor Fitzpatrick and myself were working around on this. So whereas I agree that it is quite early on, and I agree that it is a complex area, I was slightly disappointed that they're already IT going back and doing things like that, which is counter to going for this standardised approach, which removes risk long term for us, because we're not reliant on an individual body to fix things. So that's why this particular one I was particularly unhappy with. I'm happy to pick that up separately with Councillor Patrick afterwards, but that was where I was concerned about in this particular review, that the review I was happy with, but straight away the outcome, within a few weeks of the new administration, was reverting back. And this is no criticism of Councillor Pritchard, because he has a lot of, on his plate at the moment, and this is probably well down the list, if I'm being blunt. So that's why I'm saying I am concerned about this one, because I am not convinced it will go down this route.
Thank you. Chair, I'm quite happy for Councillor Sankey to drop me a line, phone me up, because, as you know, new council, new scrutiny set up, new cabinet. We haven't had the time to sit down and look at all of these recommendations. And what I would probably remind councillors opposite, probably more so when we get to the next question about the standing items on committees, is that previous cabinet recommendations that they accept from scrutiny reviews, it's not something that the new administration have to adhere to. We really, there is no compulsion on us to follow those recommendations. That said, what is in them, we will of course consider as a cabinet when we evolve policy.
Chair, if I may, and I will apologise if my language is clumsy. This question was not to sort of put that. It was more to say that we have got a set of scrutiny reviews that have been completed, and each quarter, because we're only having four meetings a year, each quarter we actually see how they're progressing. That's not to say whether they've been. This is not to say they must have been done or whatever, but it is. There's a set of scrutiny reviews that have taken place, and how are they progressing? 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, 12 months? Have we completed all the actions? Is there any changes? It was not in terms of anything, in one sense, anything to do with cabinet. It was to do with the scrutiny reports.
I appreciate what Councillor Sankey is saying, but I think you've already agreed as a committee that you're going to be meeting a lot more than four times. You've took on two areas, divided your number of eight into four, so you've got a lot of work to do. This item, the next item, obviously, number four, about having a standing item on every scrutiny committee to go through historical scrutiny reviews, I don't think is necessary. I think if councillors of whatever side want information on a specific, even if it's historical review, they can use the method that you used, Councillor Sankey, questions to the scrutiny committee, rather than the guys being bogged down when they've already got a lot of work to do going forward.
Yeah, thank you, Councillor. I would agree. What we don't want to find is our standing items become the main meat of the meeting, and the rest at the time is very limited to attack the items that we have agreed upon. So I don't believe in having, and I have some experience of standing items that tend to unfortunately grow until you find it's the majority of the meeting. So I'm not in favour. Okay, any? Fine. That being the case, have we covered item 5? Okay, thank you. If we can move on to item 10, day to the next meeting, Monday, 11th of September, 23. I'm sure everybody will make an effort to attend. Councillor Krupski.
Apologies. Right, that was my 1 week's holiday. Sorry, I won't be attending. Sorry.
Councillor Krupski, are you not taking your better half? apologies for that. thank you. Any other apologies for next meeting whilst we're on? No? Good, thank you. Okay, next item, that in accordance with the section 100 of Racket A, close 4, of the Local Government Act 1972, the press and public are excluded from the remainder of the meeting, as it is likely, in view, as it is likely, in view of the nature of the business to be transacted or the nature of the proceedings, that there would be disclosed exempt information as defined in the paragraphs of Part 1 of Schedule 2, 12A of the Act, indicated in brackets before each item number on the agenda.